Thanks, Dave. That was $200 well spent.
What am I getting to?
Susan will get that to you. It's been a blessing to be with you already this morning. And just so you know, the lesson, it was a two-part thing. We did the first part this morning in the Bible class. So if you missed it, you're not really going to be lost because I changed my mind about what we're going to do this time. I mentioned at the Bible class hour of a friend of mine whose son got run over by a car late yesterday evening and isn't doing very well, and ask and covet your prayers for him. The last update that I had from that whole situation was that they removed part of his skull so his brain could swell and things like that, and he had several vertebrae in his neck and stuff broken. So needless to say, a long road of recovery for him is ahead would be an understatement. With all of that being said, and I wish that they could hear this somehow, it made me reflect back on the lesson that I'm going to talk about this morning. And it goes back really to the summertime from Vacation Bible School at Northside. Probably one of the greatest themed weeks of Vacation Bible Schools I've ever seen as far as how it applies to everybody else. And the things that went on in the late hours of the night last night, and the things that are going through the Slate family's minds and hearts right now as we speak, I couldn't help but come back to this lesson. And the things that are taught in God's Word and the application that it has, because sometimes we need to be reminded that no matter what's going on, God is good. No matter the hard things that we are going through, God's good. Even when things are good, God is good. But especially when things are bad, our views on everything can be skewed. We could be having a great life and that bad moment hits and we're blinded. I don't know how many of you have been hit in the head very hard, but when I was going through training for the police academy, I got hit in the head hard often, and it seemed like it was all at one time. And what happened with me is my vision blurred, and it almost disappeared because I was almost knocked out. And they pull you over to the side, and they're like, all right, now you have to write this supplement about what happened during your interaction. And I couldn't even remember the interaction. So I made it up. And I wrote down whatever I thought sounded good. I made myself look really good. But it wasn't really true. I was blindsided. I was knocked off my feet. Sometimes we go through life and things do not happen the way we think they would happen. You know, I had great plans for my life when I was in high school. I had it mapped out. I was going to college for the exact thing that I knew that I was going to spend the rest of my life doing. And here I am doing absolutely nothing that I thought that I would be doing all those years ago. And that's sort of a good thing. But what about those times that bad things happen and we get veered off our course? You see, there are those who have bad experiences in their life, bad experiences with the church, bad experiences that they think are with God, period. And it's like a train wreck. And they can't get their train back on the track. And it's messed everything up. Now, all of a sudden, they blame God for everything that happens in their life. And they cannot see through the fog that God's still good. God's still there. God is still the one that's going to see you through and deliver you through everything that's happening. I don't know of very many lessons that we can teach our children as they're growing up that are better than the goodness of God and the eternality of God. He's always going to be there. Nothing's ever going to happen to God. There's nothing that's going to happen in your life that's going to erase God from the equation. Now, you may turn your back and refuse to look on God's part of the equation, but God's always there. He's always there. And He's always good. Just because bad things happen doesn't mean God flips over to the heel of the equation where He's the bad guy. That's what Satan wants us to think. In fact, Satan manipulates things in our lives, situations and circumstances, to turn our perspective on God altogether. Because how can God save us if we don't allow Him to? How can God redeem us of our sins if we refuse to turn ourselves over to Him? And the answer is, He's not going to. He's going to allow us to make those decisions. He's going to allow us to continue down that lifestyle. He's going to give us hints that He's still there. He's going to give us obstacles to try to get us back on track. But He's never lost His goodness. And He has never left the equation. And He's never going to. I teach my children all the time that no matter what, God is good. We can quote the phrase, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Do we live by that? Do we understand that? Do we hold that to our heart? Or do we let other things pull our Christianity down and pull our belief in God away? What I want you to know and believe that when life is scary, God is good. When life changes, God is good. And really, no matter what the circumstance or what the situation is, God is good. The first passage we're going to look at this morning, and I've only got two. I've only got two passages we're going to look at. The first one is going to come from Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Now, I'm going to read this little passage, and I'm going to ask a question. This is not going to be a rhetorical question. Okay? And I'm going to give you the question before I read it, okay? I'm going to ask you, did anything new in this passage of Scripture jump out to you? Something you've never thought before? And you're going to say, yes, this is what jumped out to me. Hopefully. This is a very familiar passage, and it begins in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into a boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now out in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, because the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched out His hand And he caught him. And he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. Did you hear anything in that passage of Scripture that you've never caught before? Familiar passage, it's hard to catch something new every time. But when I was getting this lesson together, I caught something new. Something that we can see from this passage is even when life is scary, God was still good. God was still good. The storm had hit the sea. The people who were familiar with boats were afraid. Peter said, "If that's you, Lord, tell me to come to you." He said, "Come on." Everything's familiar, right? Peter gets out of the boat, begins to notice the waves around him. Something happens with Peter. His focus changes. It goes from that of going towards the Lord to that of being focused on all the scary things that are around him. You see, Peter got blindsided. The storm was going on, and he lost his focus. His perceptions of things changed. Nothing was different from the moment he stepped out of the boat to the moment he started sinking, other than the fact that he took his eyes off Jesus. So what was the amazing thing that Peter did as soon as he began to sink? "Lord, save me." He cried out to the one that he knew could deliver him from the waves. But that's not the new thing. That's not the new thing that I picked up. Jesus immediately reached down and grabbed him by the hand and saved him from drowning. It's not the new thing that I picked up. Jesus saved him, and they walked back to the boat. And when they got into the boat, the wave stopped. Oh, there it is. Have you ever thought about the fact that the whole time the storm was still there? Still there. Now, I'm not sure how far Peter made it out of the boat. I don't know if he made it this far. I don't know if he made it all the way over. I don't know if he made it 50 feet out into the sea. But he made it far enough out to where his only option was Jesus. It wasn't where he stepped out in the boat and was like, "Oh, okay, now I'm good." He made it far enough out where Jesus was his only option. The storm was still there, and life was scary. Life was scary. And he cried out to Jesus for help. Jesus immediately saved him. And they walked together back to the boat during the storm. We face storms all the time that try to take our focus off of Jesus. All the time. I bet you can give me a list of at least five that have hit you so hard that it begins to take your focus off Jesus. But what we have to remember is the same thing that Peter remembered. God's good. He's going to save me if I ask Him. If I turn to Him for redemption, He's going to save me. Now, have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed because you were going through something that was terrible? And you prayed for days and days, and you say amen, and what do you know? Things are still terrible. It doesn't seem like anything has changed. Now you start to doubt God's goodness. "God, I've prayed for you to see me through this. You know that I've been struggling, and you know that my loved one's been sick. And that effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Maybe, God, I'm just not righteous enough. Because I've said amen and everything still seems terrible. But what do we know about Peter? We know that even though the storm was still going on, he was safe. He was safe. There are going to be times in your life that bad things happen that I cannot explain. Nobody in the world is going to be able to explain to you. But know that God is still good. He's still in control. And even in the middle of whatever storm it is, you are safe. You are safe. Story has gone around for years and years of a church that was looking for a preacher. And the way that they decided that they were going to hire the right person is they were going to get a group of people to come in and they were going to preach on the same verse and do it the same way. Well, they wanted them to preach on a verse and to have a great illustration. So what they wanted them to do was to preach on the verse that states the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And what they wanted them to do is to paint a picture of what they thought the peace of God that surpasses all understanding looked like. And then preach on that. Well, they narrowed it down to two guys. And the first guy comes in and he preaches a fantastic sermon. He has this portrait painted of a beautiful white sandy beach. Tall palm trees. Clear as ice blue water as you've ever seen. Bright sunshine. And gentle rolling waves. And he talked about how that, to him, represented the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So the next week, the next preacher comes in. Same verse. Similar sermon. But his illustration was completely different. You see, he painted a picture where the skies were black with lightning strikes in the background. The tall palm tree that stood so straight in the previous portrait was bent over from the wind, almost to the ground. The gentle rolling waves had turned into white cap, humongous waves. And so when it was going on, one of the elders actually stopped him. He said, "How in the world does this picture that you've painted show the peace of God that surpasses all understanding?" And he says, "Well, my life isn't perfect. Bad things go on, bad things happen. But if you notice, in the middle of this storm, there's a rock. And in the crack of that rock, if you look real close, there is a bird that's made its nest there. And under the wings of that bird are its chicks. The bird's not flying away. The bird's not abandoning its children because it knows that in the middle of that rock, it's safe. No matter how hard the storm blows or how rough the seas get, it's protected by the rock." And to me, that's what the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is. You see, God is good even when things get scary. Even when the storms are raging on in our life, God's good. Even when we can't see it, He is saving us. He is in the act of delivering us. Even in the middle of the storm. Well, what about when things change? When life changes? Mark chapter 9. We talked about just for a second how often we found ourselves in a situation where we pray and it doesn't seem like God's answered our prayers. Now, if I had to guess, I don't know how many people are in here, but if I had to guess, how many of you believed in God? Yes would be unanimous. Just a guess. Everybody would say, yes, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died for the remission of our sins. But sometimes, we're not really sure how far God extends His power. Beginning in verse 14 of Mark chapter 9, "And when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw Him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to Him, greeting Him. And He asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought to you my son, who is a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't do it.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And the father said, 'From childhood. And often he's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on him. Help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe,'" how often have we heard this? "'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' And immediately the father of the child cried out with tears. He said, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.' God, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you can do wonders. But I brought him to your disciples who've been healing people and they couldn't do it. And now I'm in doubt. I believe you are who you say you are. But right now I'm struggling to believe that you can heal him." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one who was dead. So that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" And he said to him, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Sometimes we go through things in our lives that we just have a hard time believing. Even when we pray. We pray for God to do certain things in our life. And when we say amen, it's just like, well, I did that to check the box. And we struggle with believing that God could really do this. This father struggled to believe that Jesus could heal his son. "He's had it for so long, Jesus. Well, if you believe, Lord, I do believe. But I need you to help my unbelief." He was honest with Jesus, and Jesus says, "Well, if you've got any bit of unbelief in you, I can't help you. If there's any doubt in your mind, I'm sorry, I'm not your man. I'm only there for the faithful." It's not the way Jesus approached the situation. The Father was honest with the one who was there at the creation of the world. If you believe that Jesus can help you with your unbelief, why not ask Him to help you with your unbelief? Jesus wants that honesty. He wants that relationship to where you can approach Him and say, "Lord, I'm struggling. I don't know how you're going to see me out of this one, But I'm looking for the doors that you're going to be putting in front of me. What makes you think that He will not put a door there? He's going to, because He's good all the time. Even when you struggle in your belief, God's good. Even when you're scared to death and you don't know what to do, God is good. And He's waiting for you to turn to Him. Hand Him the reins. Give Him the udder. Give Him the steering wheel. Whatever it is, He's waiting for you to let Him have complete control and to see what He can do. I know there are people are here who are struggling. There's no way we can have a group this size that has nobody that's struggling. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. There's about to be a major, major plot twist. In the end, God flips the whole thing in your favor. And He causes the attacks against you to work for you. Because that's the God that we serve. We serve the one who says, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." If God was going to give up at any time, the opportune time to do it would be before He went to the cross. Not while He's on the throne of glory. If Jesus was going to quit on you at any time, it would have been at the point where the soldiers come to arrest Him in the garden. It would have been at the point where they removed His coat and fastened Him to the pole to whip Him until He was almost dead. That would have been when Jesus gave up. All the hard stuff is over. The pain on His part is over. What's left now is to cash in on the promises that He is making to you every day. Promises that He has the power to follow through with. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Could be that you're here this morning and you need to remind yourself of that very fact. You may be waist deep in the storms of that sea and you need to cry out to Jesus for your help. If we can pray with you, maybe you need to come into contact with the blood of Jesus to have your sins washed away for the very first time. We can help you with that too. If you're in need of the forgiveness of the Lord, we urge you to come this morning. While we stand, while we sing.